and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I'm joined today by Trey Watkins. How you doing, Trey?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been an off season since. Apologies to your Titans, who, of course, fell ill to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. But the off season is here, and we are here today to talk a little bit about some of the recent news, a quick rundown of what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about some of the recent news items from this weekend, including a couple of notable cuts. And we will be talking a little bit about what we learned from Combine press conferences. So, Trey, with that, why don't we just jump right into this and start with a little bit of news, including Alshon Jeffrey reportedly wanting to leave the Philadelphia Eagles and enter the trade market. What do you think about this news?
Well, first off, if the news is true and Alshon Jeffrey wants out of Philadelphia, my sincerest condolences, prayers, condolences, whatever you call it, go to Carson Wentz. Because that guy can't get a group, he can't even get two competent wide receivers to throw to save his life. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey has been the number one receiver for him for, I'm not sure when Alshon Jeffrey came over to Philadelphia, but he's been a number one wide receiver in Philly for some time now, and he's had Zach Ertz. That's about it. They've tried Nelson Aguilar. They've even tried a quarterback turn wide receiver in Greg Ward. He got snaps when he should be lollygagging around on a practice squad or only getting special team snaps. I mean, this guy can't get wide receivers to save his life. Shifting over to Alshon Jeffrey, I don't really get why he would want out. I can't even think of any reason why he would want out. I mean, I think he's in a favorable situation in Philly right now. Wentz, even though he has injury problems, he's still good. He's good. Pedersen is good. The offensive line's good. I just can't think of a reason why he would want out. I mean, just keeps puzzling me every time I try to think of some sort of reason of why he would want out of Philadelphia. Weird situation going on down there.
Yeah, I could think of a reason he'd want out of Philadelphia. It has been widely assumed, and thanks to my friend Ryan McGinley of the Jonders Forward Pass Thinking audio podcast, who is an Eagles fan who kind of filled me in on this. It is widely assumed that the Josiah Anderson report that called Carson Wentz out for not being a leader or whatever they happened to call him in kind of the middle of this season that kind of separated that Eagles locker room quite a bit during the season. It is suggested that Alshon Jeffrey was the guy in her ear. So to me, this kind of doesn't surprise me. This is a guy that I had heard was going to perhaps get cut this offseason. It really doesn't surprise me at all, Trey, that they're moving on from Alshon Jeffrey. I think that the writing has been on the walls that he is a good receiver, but he is not a speed deep threat by any means. He's more a possession kind of jump ball, short yardage receiver, and he couldn't stay healthy for his time in Philadelphia, always dealing with shoulder or hip injuries. And I don't know, man. I can see why he'd be open for a trade because it just has not worked out, but I do see your point. I feel bad for Carson Wentz because you are correct. He hasn't had anyone to throw to in quite some time.
Yeah, and going back to the whole Josina Anderson report, I thought I saw something saying how the report was bogus and all that stuff and all that, you know, all that jag. So I sort of pushed it aside. I didn't really know that Alshon Jeffrey was the guy in that locker room talking to Josina Anderson about the problems in that locker room. But what you're saying is true, then I didn't think that locker room would be that fraction enough to where their best receivers would want out.
Yeah, and I think that report was mainly debunked, that, and a lot of people liked Carson Wentz, but I do think Alshon Jeffrey was a guy in Jocena Anderson's ear telling her that Carson Wentz was not the guy that the Eagles thought he could be. So I could definitely see why Alshon Jeffrey at this point kind of, especially if he does not like Carson Wentz that much, wants out of Philly. And I think this is the start of the total revamping of the Eagles' wide receiving core. I think they are going to go big in the draft and big in free agency to surround Carson Wentz with brand new weapons. Because you're right. He really has nothing outside of Zach Ertz around him. So it'll be interesting to see how this offseason plays out in Philly, but I think they could be a team that goes out and makes some big swings this offseason. And that's kind of jumping to Combine news, which we don't have to immediately, but at the Combine, Howie Roseman said that they've been kind of saving up, getting the cap ready these last 3 years, and that they are going to be aggressive this offseason. So I would expect them to really try to go after some guys this offseason. Moving on to our next topic, let's talk about the Chicago Bears. Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel hit the free agent market, cut from the Chicago Bears. I want to ask you this. Taylor Gabriel, of course, had a ton of good years in Atlanta, had one good year in Chicago, but then kind of has disappeared from the offense this last year. What do you think his value is on the free agent market?
Well, I will say this, is that those good years Taylor Gabriel had in Atlanta were, I guess you could say, a proponent of Kyle Shanahan and that entire offense that was holed up in Atlanta during their golden years before Shanahan left to take the head coaching job in San Francisco. Gabriel's value on the market, I guess you could say, is the value, if you want the value of, let's say, a good slot receiver. Ton of speed, quick feet. Those quick feet will be able to get him some favorable matchups down the field out of the slot. But anytime you have a slot right receiver, you know, that's fast like that, and they're a little bit small on the small side like he is, there's some injury concerns. And he had that some sort of injury, I guess you say, problem in Chicago the last 2 years. And that's why you saw Anthony Miller, that young guy out of Memphis, making plays and getting the snaps that Taylor Gabriel was really supposed to get. So I guess you could say he has that good slot wide receiver value on the free agent market. I'm not the best with gouging the market for slot receivers, considering that on paper, every slot receiver might seem the same, quick feet, good route runner. But I guess you could say every slot wide receiver has their strengths and weaknesses. So it's a pretty weird market for Taylor Gabriel out on the free agent market, but it'll be fun to see it materialize as we get closer and during free agency.
Yeah, I put him at number 9 in my top 10 free agent wide receivers. I don't necessarily think he will change a team. I don't think he'll make you that much better, but he's a good depth piece, I think, that you can add to maybe come in and kind of be a, how do I want to frame this? Like, he'll give you 500 to 600 yards and 4 touchdowns, which isn't great value. That's about a wide receiver 4, but he gives you depth. So it's not a huge addition to the market, but he's better than, say, I think Geronimo Allison is at this point. So that's kind of who I have him slotted in ahead of. But I tend to think that he'd be an interesting addition to really any team that would want him. Prince of Mukamara, on the other hand, was graded at 68 on Pro Football Focus's grades this year. I think of him mainly as kind of a second or third cornerback. What do you think about Prince Amukamara, and do you think that he will receive big money in this free agent class that is suddenly pretty deep at cornerback?
I sort of agree with you, or not even sort of. I'll just say I will agree with you on the number two, number three corner role for Prince Amukamara, that any team will be, well, some team might be willing to give him on the market. I don't know really the money that he would get. Like you said, the corner class in free agency is pretty doggone deep when you think about it. There's a couple names on here. There's a couple names on there that I guess you could say you could slot in, you can give them the money, but I think like every other free agency period, there's going to be some team that's going to be desperate at a position, whether it's wide receiver, offensive line, or an important position like corner, that'll be willing to throw some money at him. Like you said, he's a two or three corner, not a guy you would want on your opposing team's top wide receiver. So the number two, number three corner spot with the limited money that comes with that sounds about perfect for him.
So that covers just about all the news that dropped, finally, AJ Green's future, and this kind of transfers into Combine presser talk. AJ Green's future. I have a question for you. Where do you think he ends up next year? Because there have been a lot of conflicting reports kind of about his future.
I guess you could say a team that we just talked about, the Eagles. The Eagles need a wide receiver, and like you said, Howie Roseman, they've been saving up the cap, and I think they'll be plenty aggressive in getting weapons for Carson Wentz this offseason. I know there's one team, and I just want to play around with it. There was one team out there, I guess you could say maybe during the past 2 or 3 months or so, that have been floating out there in AJ Green rumors, the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots definitely need wide receiver help, obviously. There's no Gronk. They're in rookie N'Keal Harry. His strengths weren't really maximized during the regular season. Teams really caught on to his whole bully wide receiver style and just stacked him up in press coverage and made him look like an absolute embarrassment out there as a wide receiver. Patriots need wide receivers, and I don't want to hear the whole Tom Brady isn't coming back to New England thing. I think Tom Brady stays, and so they give Tom Brady the money, and they give him a wide receiver that he could depend on during his last, his last 2 to 3, 4 years that he has left in the league.
Yeah, I kind of think he's hanging out in Cincinnati. Just from kind of what they've said at their press conferences, I get that you're never going to say, yeah, we're flat out moving on from this guy. But what it sounded like from most of the press conferences that the Bengals held this week was that they just weren't going to move on from AJ Green. And I just think they'll end up franchise tagging him, especially because they're going to try to bring in Joe Burrows with that number one overall pick, and they want to make sure that Joe Burrows has at least one weapon. Joe Burrow, pardon me. I always add an S to his name. I don't know why that is. But I just think he stays put in Cincinnati because they need to give Joe Burrow a weapon that he can succeed with, because if they don't, the Bengals are not known to go out in free agency and spend big, and they are not the best at drafting talent. And if you really want to pitch yourself to Joe Burrow and have him not request a trade within his first few years, which could happen, you want to put the most exciting players around him that you can, and AJ Green is the most exciting player that you have.
Yeah, exactly right. On the whole Joe Burrow thing, it'll be pretty fun for, I guess you could say, the whole point of chaos in the NFL to see him request a trade, Eli Manning style, back in the mid-2000s. I think that's probably the mindset that any team would have. You don't want to bring in a rookie quarterback and sabotage his first few years in the league without any sort of weapons. That's like throwing your kid out on the streets when they're 3 years old and telling them to go survive on their own. It's not smart. So I can fully understand the whole concept of keeping him in Cincinnati and giving Joe Burrow a weapon that he can play around with during his first few years in the league and see how everything goes after that.
Yeah. Finally, let's get into some combine presser takeaways. I'll start with you. The Tennessee Titans, your team specifically, I wanted to ask, what did you learn from them at these press conferences in Indianapolis?
Well, one thing I learned about the Cinderella playoff run Tennessee Titans is that they will try almost everything in their power to keep Derrick Henry a Titan for the foreseeable future. And I mean, why wouldn't they? The Titans want their philosophy on offense to be physical, which means running the football. And who better to have running the football in your backfield than a 6'3", 6'4", 250-pound battering ram defensive end turn running back and Derrick Henry? It'd be stupid to let him go, basically. The Titans just don't have the staff and the staff to overhaul this offense to, I guess you could say, a pass-friendly offense. They have the weapons, but I'm not confident Arthur Smith even attempted to do that. By the way, his organization at passing game was beyond sloppy past season. Just a little note. But I think the Titans will do almost anything in their power to keep Derrick Henry as a Titan. Now, that won't stop other teams from trying to pursue him, no doubt. And I know Derrick Henry wants to stay in Tennessee as well, but anything can happen. But I don't see any sort of situation where the Titans head into this upcoming season without Derrick Henry starting in their backfield.
What about Ryan Tannehill? To me, when I listened to their press conferences, they seemed pretty non-committal on him.
And I saw the reaction from those comments from Titans general manager John Robinson. And I guess I can understand some sort of controversy within those comments, since he was strongly supportive in the idea of bringing back Derrick Henry and seemed a little bit more, I guess you could say, non-committal towards Ryan Tannehill. I think it's just generic answering from John Robinson. I think Ryan Tannehill will be back as the Titans starting quarterback this upcoming season. I don't see any other way he leaves unless Mike Vrabel and John Robinson really want 42-year-old Tom Brady. 43-year-old Tom Brady leading their offense this upcoming year. So no way. It's no controversy within those comments. I don't believe. I think the comments were justified. They were generic. They were just fine. So no controversy from those comments there for me.
You, first off, let me ask you this, and then I want you to ask me a question on one of mine. Chris Ballard, okay. You tracked his press conference a bit. What did you learn from Chris Ballard and the Colts?
Well, the Colts have been interesting to me, or I guess you could say the last couple of years, because they rebuilt that offensive line. They got some nice pieces on defense. And they've always come into the offseason with a crap ton of cap room where they can just go out and splurge and spend it on everything. Like some weird guy that goes to Vegas, whatever. But they have loads of money that they could spend. But Chris Bowder stayed pat. He just had to spend that money. He's been careful. He's brought in Justin Houston, but that wasn't even that big of a deal. Brought in some depth pieces on defense. And that's about it. He's kept, and also, most importantly, kept his core guys that have performed well for him ever since he took over as Coach GM. He's kept his core guys in there. I heard some during this press conference this week that he was preparing to be pretty aggressive during the offseason. And, I mean, why wouldn't they? The Colts, like I said, those young pieces on defense, they can add a quarterback. Phillip Rivers has been linked to them as well. They have some pretty intriguing options out there for their positions of need out there in free agency. I know with him openly admitting that, hey, I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive with all this cap room that I have. It's just no trouble for all the remaining teams in the A or the rest of the teams in the AFC South, considering that Chris Ballard, it's his history has been brief, but it's been good history. And I think if you give Chris Ballard an opportunity to go out and spend money on top guys, guys that will he knows and will thinks and knows that will contribute positively to his football team, then that's no trouble. So Chris Ballard and crap ton of cap room and a little bit of aggressiveness spells trouble.
Yeah. I would say my number one kind of takeaway from a Chris Ballard press conference, and that will go into some of my takeaways, is they are not committal at all to Jacoby Brissett, and I would be extremely surprised if they roll into 2020 with him as their starting quarterback, personally. So yeah, I just don't envision a scenario where Jacoby Brissett is their week one starter in 2020.
And I don't see a situation or scenario where Jacoby Brissett is their week one starter as well. He just wasn't that good. And I know he's a bridge. He wasn't going to be the long-term guy in the first place. But to expect, I guess you would say, your bridge to be some sort of decent option under center, Jacoby Brissett was just not good. And they have some options out there in free agency where, they, like I said, they can go after Phillip Rivers. Tom Brady is always a big name out there. So any team with a quarterback need, a good offensive line, and a roster that's ready to win now would, of course, be linked to Tom Brady. But I don't see a scenario where Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback week one for this upcoming season as well. Now, I know that you were following Combine Pressers yesterday and the Combine Pressers this morning. You got any takeaways for me?
Yeah, mainly quarterback stuff. I want to start really quickly with Cam Newton, who Matt Rhule said he could not wait to coach in Carolina. And it just sounds like to me the way they talked about Cam Newton, everyone was super enthusiastic about the future of Cam Newton in Carolina. It just seems to me that, one, he's not healthy enough right now to make a trade. So I don't see him being traded before week one. And two, I think that means that he is going to be their week one starter. And if they ever were to think about a quarterback, I think they would probably attack it in the draft a lot more than they would free agency. So Cam Newton is just a guy, a really interesting case to me, but I really don't think he's going anywhere in 2020. And if prime Cam Newton is able to kind of get back and work with Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule likes a mobile quarterback, a read option quarterback that can run a system like that. And I think Cam Newton is that guy. So I just refuse to assume anymore that he's going to be anywhere else other than Carolina this year. I think he is going to be their week one starter. And after this, I probably won't bring it up on the pod again, because I just think that he's not leaving Carolina, and he's not a realistic trade target for any of these teams, really.
What about the Bears? The Bears have had some sort of, I guess you could say, or some sort of set of quarterback questions ever since Mitchell Trubisky regressed in a very, very bad way this past season. What did you hear, if you did hear anything, from Bears GM Ryan Pace about Mitchell Trubisky? And do you think Ryan Pace thinks that Mitch Trubisky will be the guy to man the Bears offense going forward?
I want to preface this by saying you have to really read between the tea leaves, and I think you know this when we watch these press conferences online and see people talk to these guys, because half of what comes out of these press conferences is complete bull hockey. Like, nobody is being 100% honest and upfront with you here. That said, the Bears basically doubled down on Mitch Trubisky. They said he is going to be our starter in 2020. He is going to be the guy. I do think they will bring in competition, but I don't see them trading for, like I said before, Cam Newton or a top-end guy like a Tom Brady or a Phillip Rivers. I see them maybe going after, I still think, and I've been saying this for months now, I still think Andy Dalton makes the most sense because he's a guy that is not that much better than the best Mitch Trubisky that we've seen, I think. So I think they maybe bring in Dalton for a little bit and see if he can compete with Trubisky. If Trubisky ends up getting beat out by Dalton, Trubisky spends a year on a bench, and then they decide to do what to do with Trubisky going into next year when contracts and things start coming into play. So I do think they'll go after a quarterback, but they do seem pretty dead set on sticking with Mitch Trubisky at least as a backup. I think he'll be on the Bears next year. What do you think about that Andy Dalton thought?
That's actually not a bad sort of planning spot for Andy Dalton. Excuse me. Really. We all agree that Mitch Trubisky. Not all. We both agree that Mitch Trubisky has been just has a lot of questions attached to his label coming into this year. And that adding some sort of competition would maybe bring the best or some sort of improved version of Trubisky out. Andy Dalton is an actually pretty interesting option. Like you said, Andy Dalton, it's a little bit better than the best of what Mitchell Trubisky brings. And that's pretty disappointing to hear if you're a Bears fan. But Andy Dalton would be a pretty nice addition. I'll backtrack. I won't say pretty nice since I don't want to have my takes go frozen solid. So I'll say it's an intriguing option and stick it at that. Now, I know your Broncos have a lot of questions in this offseason. Justin Simmons is a free agent. Gonna be interested to see what they do with him. What did you hear from John Elway yesterday in Indy about the Broncos? Not just about Justin Simmons, but their entire roster situation as a whole.
Not much, to be completely honest with you. John Elway has, of course, the gift that most GMs saying a lot while not saying much at all. I think the one thing that definitely came out of it is there is no way Justin Simmons is leaving that team. If they don't get a long-term deal done, he's going to get franchise tagged. I think the plan kind of coming out of both Vic Fangio and John Elway's press conferences is they are going to sign defense and draft offense. And what that means is I think they're going to lean pretty heavily at trying to find a defensive tackle either in free agency or keep Shelby Harris. I think they're going to look to sign a cornerback most likely, either re-signing Chris Harris or picking up someone new on the market. A guy like Byron Jones might be interesting, or Darius Slay, of course, in a trade has been connected. I think they are going to try to get a more veteran group on defense, and then I would expect them to draft mainly offensive pieces, especially offensive tackle. It sounds like they're going to go hard after a top-end wide receiver in this draft as well. So that's kind of what I took away from the Broncos. Another really interesting press conference within the same division was the Oakland Raiders. And Mike Mayock did a really nice job, as he always does. He did this on TV for so long, and I think that really helps him when talking to the press, because he knows how to say enough but not too much. He said he was impressed by the way Derek Carr played at points last year, but there is room for improvement at every spot on the roster. To me, that means Derek Carr, for right now, is their guy, but if someone like a Tom Brady became available, or a Phillip Rivers became available, or someone were to fall into them in the draft, they would go after that person. I just don't think that Derek Carr is 100% safe, but there is a small chance that they roll into 2020 with him as the week one starter, I think.
I agree with you. Derek Carr hasn't been really that impressive ever since he came back from that really gruesome leg injury he had during his, I think it was his 2016 year, where he was playing pretty well. The Raiders were in a position to go to the playoffs, and Derek Carr had some MVP talk attached to his label. The whole idea of signing a Tom Brady, stick him as your starting quarterback in your first year playing in Las Vegas, would just make the NFL jump up and down, do cartwheels, laugh and grin with all sorts of excitement and joy that they would have, that ever sort of came to fruition. I don't think they'll end up going for a big name quarterback, because I don't think a big name quarterback would love to come to a, I guess you could say, rebuilding team like the Raiders, young team that still needs some work done, especially at the wide receiver position. And on the defensive side of the ball, they still need a lot, I guess you could say, a pretty nice size of pieces to start contending in that AFC West. Not that they would be able to really compete with Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City and the Kansas City Chiefs like that, but just to start competing and competing for maybe a playoff spot. I don't see a big name quarterback going there, and I think Derek Carr will actually roll in there in this upcoming year as the starting quarterback. But Tom Brady being coached by Chucky would just make for a must-watch TV. I'll end it at that.
Yeah, I would push back a little bit. I don't think the Raiders are rebuilding as much as you think they are. Darren Waller was awesome last year. Josh Jacobs was awesome last year. Hunter Renfro is a nice piece at wide receiver. If they ever went out and added a true number one wide receiver, that would be a really interesting offensive core. Their offensive line is not bad. It ranks as one of the best in the NFL. I just don't think that the Raiders, there has been some conception by analysts and people out there that the Raiders are not ready to go. I do think they could plug in one of these quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady, and if they played at the top of their game, I think the Raiders would have a real shot to make it as the wild card. I don't think they'd have a shot to dethrone the Chiefs for the division, but I do think they would be a wild card team, and I just don't think they're that far off. They have a ton of holes to fill on defense. The defense is awful. But the offense, I just don't think it's that far away from really taking off.
That's fair as well. I would push back on the idea of them maybe competing for a wild card spot. Not saying that they're maybe next season they won't be able to push for a wild card spot. But I think that the talent and the potential for the rest of the AFC, there's the Colts, there's the Texans, there's There's plenty other teams out there that I would invest in their stock before the Raiders. But you're right. They have a good nucleus, young nucleus on offense. Like you said, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro is real good. Josh Jacobs is real good. And they add, another wide receiver, then I think the offense will be cooking. But I don't buy their stock as much. But I'm not here to say that they're just some sort of rebuilding squad that they're not ready to contend for another 4 or 5 years. I just believe that the stock and the rest of the AFC is a little bit better than the Raiders this upcoming season. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
All right. Yeah, I think my final kind of combine presser takeaway also at QB, Jameis Winston. I really think they are going to move on. And like the worst case scenario he'll have heavy competition from someone they draft, because I really do think they are going. Bruce Arians didn't seem like he knew who was available quite yet. He said he'd have a better idea of whether he knew Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady was available, but he outright said in a Sirius XM interview that he would rather have Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers over Jameis Winston, pardon me. And I just think that's a really interesting place to watch this offseason, because the Bucs have a ton of cap money to spend and could throw a ton of money at either Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady. And I think worst comes to worst, they maybe go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. I really don't think Jameis Winston is the uncontested week one starter there. I think he is going to have heavy competition if he sticks around, if they keep him around at all. And I think they might use the transition tag on him, but I don't think they're going to give him a long-term deal or franchise tag him, personally.
Most definitely. The whole idea of Tampa Bay bringing back Jameis Winston, to me, just sounds sort of, I guess you could say, I won't go as far to say irresponsible, but it just doesn't really, interest me. I'm not really interested on the Bucks in bringing back Jameis Winston. The guy's a turnover machine. He's shown no sort of, I guess you could say, improvement in his ability to cut down on turnovers. I just don't see why the Bucks would bring him back. Now, bringing him back, I guess you could bring him back unless you are at the last case and there's no other options on the market and the draft and just worst case scenario. I'll just say that. Worst case scenario, the Bucks bring back Jameis. Yeah, I wouldn't fall in love with the whole with the high passing yardage numbers, the explosive plays that he has, because the negative that comes with Jameis outweighs the positive significantly, in my opinion. Now, with the whole veteran quarterback situation, Bruce Arians, we know, has a history of taking pocket quarterbacks and just loving, dialing up everything that he can with pocket quarterbacks that are smart and know how to run his offense. We saw with Carson Palmer in Arizona when he had probably, and I won't say probably, he did have an amazing season under Bruce Arians, I believe in 2015 when they had a wild card win. And even before that, they had tons of success in Arizona. The idea of having Phil Rivers or even Tom Brady starting that quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just sort of excites me. For Tampa Bay, like you said, they have a ton of cap money. Their offensive line still needs some work, but they have Cameron Brait, I believe, still. They have O.J. Howard out there. They have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They have an impressive, one of the more impressive skill groups in all football, and it doesn't get a lot of respect because Jameis Winston's comical way of creating turnovers outshines everything. So, the prospect of having one of those two veteran quarterbacks down there in Tampa Bay excites me. And it'll be fun to see what Tampa Bay will do in free agency, because they get a veteran quarterback. They can fill some of those holes on defense, and they fill some of those holes in defense and on that offensive line with the enormous amount of cap room that they have. They could be a pretty good, pretty fun team to watch going into next season.
Yeah. Jameis, while throwing those turnovers, yes, had 5,000 yards last year. They had 5,000 passing yards last year. That is crazy, crazy, crazy. Like, near 5,000 yards passing. I'm pulling up NFL.com right now to make sure I get this right. Yeah, 4,845 passing yards. If you take away those interceptions, we are talking about, and I think they were, a top five offense in the NFL last year. They just were. The rushing game worked. They are an extremely interesting team. It sounds like they're going to Ronald Jones more next year. That was a thing that came out of a Bruce Arians press conference as well. I just think that the Buccaneers are a team that are going to get after it this offseason and really try to find a quarterback. And if they don't get one in free agency, I would not be shocked if they mortgage the future and say, and Jason Light says, listen, I only have 1 year left to prove that I work here. I'm going to trade my first and a second, and I'm going to move up in the draft and try to draft one of these quarterbacks. And I really don't think that there is any chance Jameis Winston is their week one starter. It just, to me, there's no way that's feasible. You cannot sell the fan base on that again just because of how comically bad. You're right. It was comical how bad he was last year. So, especially when it comes to turning the ball over. And when you look at the offensive numbers he put up, if you can do that with Jameis Winston, if you put another strong-armed quarterback in there like a Phillip Rivers, and yes, we don't know if Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady are the same guy. We don't know that. That's a huge gamble. I admit that. But if you put either one of them in there, they are going to give you a hell of a lot better chance to win than Jameis Winston did. And that's just kind of how I feel about the situation in Tampa right now. All right, Trey, I think that's it. I think we covered everything that we wanted to cover from the Combine Presses. No, there was a ton more, but I just wanted to kind of hit on the biggest things quarterback-wise and otherwise stories that kind of came out of the draft, out of the Combine, and now we move on to watching players run around in compression shorts, which I will not be participating in. That is not my thought, that process for the Combine. I might watch the quarterbacks throw, but I don't think I'm watching any 40s this year or bench presses. So with that, Trey, where can people find you on social media? Let's get out of here.
You can find me at capital T R E Trey, capital W Watkins 099 on Twitter. I'm still digesting and preparing for this crazy offseason. I guess you could say mildly crazy offseason that the Titans are preparing to have. So find me on there. I throw in a couple soccer tweets here and there, so don't hate me for that, but that's where you can find me.
Oh, well, let's talk about that for a second, actually. Are you still there, Trey? Oh,
I am, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have dropped for a second. Are you an MLS guy?
Well, I'm not really an MLS guy. FC Barcelona guy, but I know Nashville, FC, one of the two newest what's the name for those squads that are coming in the first
inaugural? Inaugural. You're right. Inaugural season.
Inaugural season. Okay, inaugural season kicking off this Saturday against Atlanta United. I'm actually pretty excited for that. I love soccer, love watching soccer. So any time I see some local soccer in a professional league, I'm all for it. Can't wait to see it go down. I heard some reports. I think Nashville SC's one of their guys in their front office are saying how 50,000 tickets were sold. So I'm pretty excited for that. I watch it on TV. Definitely not going to the game when it's supposed to be 40 degrees. Not doing that, but I'll happily enjoy it in the heat of my home, watching them start off their MLS journey against, I guess you could say, one of the best teams in MLS in Atlanta United. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a ton of fun. I'm an RSL guy myself. If you want to hear more about soccer, the Pinch Hemp podcast by Travis Calvin. We are actually going to be doing a show. I am going to be a guest on that show later tonight, so check that out tomorrow. The Pinch Hemp podcast will be talking a little bit about baseball and some MLS as well. Trey, thank you very much for joining us. We will be back, I'm not sure when, probably next week when the franchise tag deadline hits. Then I will be out of town the next week and then back for the free agency frenzy that it always is. So thank you very much for listening. Check us out on iTunes. Please, we don't ask for this often. Leave a review. If you leave a review, we'll give it a read on the podcast. Awesome stuff. Rate, review, share. Endzone Pod on Twitter, at Eric18Utah on Twitter, and we will see you next time. Follow us on Twitter, at Endzone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.